Welcome back for another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us this week. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. Man, we got a good show for you today. Dr. Sherry Campbell is on the show, and she has a practice in which she deals with grief and trauma, things like addiction, not fitting in, and various other issues. Got a great book out as well, and we're going to be talking to Dr. Sherry Campbell right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Sure do love to get mail from you. Always remind you in this part of the show that you should send me a line. Let me know how you're doing, how things are going with your reintegration. If you've got issues or concerns that you think would be appropriate for the show, let me know and we'll see what we can do about it. You can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney at yahoo.com. Send me an email. I tried to forget it any way I can. Hey everybody, and welcome back. Dr. Sherry Campbell is my special guest today. Sherry has a book that, she deals with things like loving yourself. As a matter of fact, the name of the book is Loving Yourself. She's got some other things too. She's has a practice where she deals with grief and trauma and things like not fitting in and addiction and various other issues. Dr. Sherry Campbell, welcome to the Journey of Hope.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you so much for doing the show with us today. Let me just get started by having you tell us a little bit about yourself so that we know where you're coming from. Sherry, tell us a little bit about Sherry, Dr. Sherry Campbell.
Well, I am a psychologist. I've got over 19 years of clinical training and experience, and I'm a nationally recognized expert on several media sites, and I've just published my first book, and I have a private practice where I see 40 people every week, and I have a beautiful daughter. And just here on the show today, talking about my book, Loving Yourself, The Mastery of Being Your Own Person.
Great. Now, one of the things I noticed on your webpage is you say, happiness is not a given, it's a creation. Let's talk about creating that. Okay. One of the things that I saw that you mentioned is that we need to unhook from unhealthy people. And in this particular audience, all of us that are associated with the show and listen to the show, we kind of have a general idea of what that is. But how do we go about doing that? Unhooking from unhealthy people, and why is it important?
Well, the reason I write a lot about toxic, people and how they impact our lives, and I would say probably many people in your audience, if they've been incarcerated or were incarcerated, probably didn't have the best childhood in the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had toxic parents, which I certainly did as well, I had very self-absorbed parents, it's really hard to find yourself, you know. And one of the most challenging thing about toxic people is it seems like, you know, they should be able to hear a truth you have to say or feelings that you have, and you can go at them with that, and a normal person would understand you, but somebody who's self-absorbed or toxic really won't. And you become very lonely in trying to get your truth across to them, because you keep trying because you love these people, but they can't hear you. So you're not going to be able to get very healthy if you are surrounded by people who are really not there to have your best interest in your heart. And so really, the only really real way to deal with these types of people is to unhook from them. And I always say, just don't engage. If someone can't respect you, you don't have got to be mean to them. Just don't engage with them, because you won't ever get them to see you the way that you need to be seen.
I think for us, it would be more along the lines of people that, you know, maybe have continued to use drugs after, you know, mm-hmm. getting slapped with a, you know, 5-year sentence didn't quite wake them up, but you don't want to do drugs anymore, yet you still like that person as a person, but we don't, so it's a matter.
So it would be the other way for this show. Okay, so if we were to switch it around, I had a woman ask me, how do I unhook from people if it's my 23-year-old and my 19-year-old?
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's the parents that are toxic or the addict or the child that's toxic, it doesn't change what I just said. If you can't get through to anybody who's toxic, whichever direction it goes, you know, my direction, I can't get through to my parents. Maybe from a parent's perspective, they can't get through to their child who continues to get incarcerated, or your boyfriend continues to get incarcerated, or your brother or whoever. At some point, you've got to stop trying to save them and give them the space to either learn to save themselves or to let them be and understand they're not interested.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing you can do to control another person.
Absolutely, an excellent point, and something that's easier said than done. But I think that, you know, some of us get into a situation where, you know, we have to learn these sorts of things in order for ourselves to thrive and to move on in our life. And I keep thinking about that. Are you watching this Jodi Arias trial? You watched any of this?
Oh, yes, I'm watching it religiously.
This has got to be the most I know nothing about psychology, but you talk about two people that were toxic for each other. My gosh.
Mm-hmm.
And you
it couldn't have been worse.
Yeah, no, it couldn't have been worse, and you can see how that ended. So,
mm-hmm.
All right, so.
Yeah. I feel like when you are watching a case like Jodi, not only is she obviously very unbalanced, but she would be, in my field, diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, or she would be called a crazy maker. And I think that Travis also had his own issues. Of course, he didn't deserve what happened to him, but you can tell Jodi is lying for her survival, and this is what a lot of addicts do as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're lying to survive. That is how they've learned. They've learned to lie. They've learned to manipulate. They've learned to do all of that to survive. You know, Jodi appears very unmoved when she's, you know, on TV, that there's no emotion. And I feel for her that she actually believes a lot of what she lies about, and she has to believe that so she can survive in her own identity.
Mm-hmm. And for those of us that are moving out of addiction and are getting a grip on our lives where, you know, we're not manipulating or we're not, because we've learned, a lot of us have been through treatment and we know that we've had manipulating behaviors and we know that we've lied and we've basically crapped on people, you know, to get what we want. When you talk about rebalancing and moving on, is that what you're talking about when you say rebalance? Or is that something a little bit different?
Yeah. When I talk about rebalancing, I feel like, you know, the only person you have any real control over is you. So if you're not okay with you, no one else is going to be okay with you either. So my book, you know, obviously the title is giving you direction. It's Love Yourself and Master Being Your Own Person. Don't try to master anyone else or something else master you. If you love you, you're not going to doubt yourself with alcohol and drugs. If you truly love who you are, you'll respect yourself more than that. So when you are going to rebalance and you're newly sober, let's say, then one thing you've got to focus on is loving yourself enough to respect yourself that you won't self-harm. Okay, what are you going to do? How do you love yourself? You take care of yourself physically. You treat yourself the way that you would envision treating someone else that you love. You make time for yourself. You take moments during the day to find gratitude. You make sure that you're working. You make sure you have a purpose, that you are finding a direction. You have a structure. You have a schedule. You know, all of those things contribute to loving yourself.
Okay, let's go through that again. A structure. We need a structured day. We need some schedule. We try to stay away from the downtime, would you say? I mean, unstructured downtime?
Absolutely. A lot of open time, it allows for what? It allows for chaos.
Yeah.
Okay? So if you want to avoid chaos, fill up your time. It's better to be proactive and too busy than to have a lot of room for chaos. Because once chaos steps in, you're not going to be able to hold on and not use. Because a lot of people use because they don't like the way the chaos feels. So if you don't want that, you can't create the room for it. And it's really up to you how much room you create for the chaos or not. You know, I would rather have busy chaos, being very busy in that chaos, than having a darker, open, nothing's going on. Who am I going to be today? Where am I going to go? I'm lonely. I'm alone. I don't like the way I feel. And then you medicate it.
And the medication doesn't have to necessarily be a drug, right? I mean, it could be other sorts of addictions as well. Am I right about that?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, yeah, there's food, there's sex, there's being addicted to your own suffering. You know, I mean, I have people that are depressed that are addicted to their depression. It doesn't have to be anything in the outside world. You can be addicted to attention. You can be addicted to just about anything you can addict yourself to. So if you create a lot of room for all of that in there, then you're going to continue to stay in a low-level life that you're unhappy in.
Okay.
You know, you've got to think of that. Go ahead.
Okay. I've got a question for you here along these lines. You say we can be addicted to anything. If we get addicted to, you could just pull something out of the air, something that's not harmful to anybody, like maybe saying playing video game. I don't know what it would be. But is it okay to have an addiction like that, playing video games, as long as it's not, we're not using drugs, we're not manipulating other people or crapping on anybody? Is that okay?
I would say video games, no.
Okay, that may be a bad example, but
let's say this, yoga.
Okay.
Let's say you're addicted to exercise.
Running,
or you're addicted
running.
To yoga, running. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. Yes, be addicted to that. It's
okay.
Healthy for your heart, it's healthy for your mind, it's healthy for the brain chemistry. You can even be addicted to a passion. Let's say that you love art, you love to draw. You know, do that stuff, fill up your time. When I have open time, I always read or I write in my journal, and I do that extensively. Maybe I'm addicted to that. But whatever that's doing, as long as what I'm doing is making me healthier and better.
Okay. Okay. I think video games was a bad example. But, yeah, I mean, it's okay to be addicted to exercise. I mean, if you feel like you're a little obsessive or compulsive or whatever about working out, that's probably okay, you think?
I think it's okay. I mean, if you really watch any shows on anybody who's been incarcerated, a lot of them are working out,
mm-hmm.
right? Because there's not a lot to do there.
Mm-mm.
I had a girl in my practice who
well, you can eat lots of chips, Sherry.
Yes, lots of chin-ups and push-ups. You know, but I had a girl that was in prison for 3 years. She had vehicular homicide, drunk driving.
Mm-hmm.
And she got into prison. She spent 3 years there, and she got in very good shape because that's what she could do there. And she's transferred that now out. She's been out for several years now. She's doing very well. And, you know, she now works at a fitness center because that was the one thing that got her through. So
mm-hmm.
we all know what's healthy and what's not. We're intuitive people, every single one of us. We know if what we're doing is helping us or hurting us. So use the smartness that you have and analyze if what you're addicted to is helping you or hurting you.
Okay. And it, you know, with things like exercise, for example, we get in this idea of how we feel about ourselves. I know it makes us feel better. And one of the things that you talk about is self-doubt. How, mm-hmm. Let's talk about the ways to get rid of self-doubt. I guess we're talking about our self-esteem here. Dr. Campbell, talk to us about the importance of letting go of feeling bad about ourselves.
I think that self-doubt can be used for more good than it can be bad, actually. I just wrote an article for the Dr. Laura webpage on, it hasn't been submitted or published yet, but I just wrote it on the 10 benefits of self-doubt. Self-doubt is actually an incredible motivator. People who think that they've got it down, they don't work nearly as hard as those people who doubt if they can do it. If you doubt yourself, there's usually something in there that says, but what if I could?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you grab hold of that and you use that to move forward, then I feel like self-doubt is something that can take you to a very different place. I also, though, write about how toxic people often prey upon your self-doubt. And if someone can get you kind of twisted into always thinking that you're wrong and they're right, that's not healthy self-doubt. But for anyone who's healing or trying to move forward in their life, which is probably the community that listens to this station,
correct. You
can absolutely use your self-doubt as not being too egotistical to get back to the basics. Maybe knowing you're going to not do something well for a while until you do it well. If you work through those doubts, you will show yourself that you can achieve far beyond what you ever thought you could. Mm-hmm. And then life will open up to you.
Okay. You talk about these things in your new book, Loving Yourself?
Yes.
Are these the kinds of things you talk about?
Yes.
We're going to take a real quick break, Dr. Campbell, and we're going to come back right after this. My name's Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Hey there. You know, one of the things that's important for us is to be productive with our downtime. Maybe we'll mention this to Dr. Campbell after the break, but, you know, if you're not productive with your downtime and you leave yourself idle, you're going to open some doors into some things that maybe got you incarcerated in the first place. Now, one of the things I've done to take up that time is I've worked on learning how to play some music, and I'm not very good at it, but one of the things that's really helped me is a good friend of the show. It's something called the Jam Buddy Chord Chart, and the way this works is it teaches you something called the Nashville Numbering System. It enables you to play songs in any key. Very, very cool, and if you're one of these people that or learning how to play music, or you're already maybe intermediate, this would help you as well. It's called the Jam Buddy Chord Chart, and the way you find it is just by clicking on the link right there next to the podcast. Get one of these things. They're not very much, about $3 or $4. It's a Jam Buddy Chord Chart.
Sounding like to play with other boys now and then. The rusty spaceship. He wanted to marry that girl.
Marry that girl.
Rusty.
And we're back. We're talking with Dr. Sherry Campbell. She has a new book called Loving Yourself. And before the break, we had been talking about self-doubt, and you were talking about maybe even some positive aspects of doubt. I want to move into this area just real quickly of mind over emotion. I think that's important for this audience. It's another topic that you discuss, discipline of the mind. When I see you writing about that, the first thing that pops into my mind is the idea of choices and making correct choices. Talk to us, Dr. Campbell, a little bit about the kinds of things that you talk about when you talk about discipline of the mind and mind over emotion.
What I talk about in my book, and I actually show you, it's not just discussed, you're asked questions, you're given every opportunity to find the meaning in your suffering. If you cannot find the meaning in your suffering, which you find through your thought process, you will experience despair. So pain is opportunity. On the other side of pain is an opportunity, and you've got to discipline your mind to realize that everything that's happening to you is designed for a higher purpose. It's there to make you smarter, it's there to make you wiser, and it's there to show you that you can go far beyond whatever you thought you could. When you're in pain, you've got to keep your mind focused on anything that you can positive. I encourage journal writing. I encourage being a voracious reader, filling your mind with everything positive. In fact, even right now, right next to me, I have 3x5 cards, and I read, you know, voraciously, and I'll find something in a book that means something to me, and I will write it down and stick it on a 3x5 card, and I have them propped up next to me throughout every session I have all day with patients. Because in any break, if I'm going to get my mind on something, I'm going to get my mind on something positive. So your mind will determine what you feel. So if you're going to continue to stay in the easy thinking, which is negative thinking is much easier than positive thinking, the negative
thinking is. It really is, isn't it?
Oh my gosh, yes.
It's interesting that it's that much easier. I find that myself. And Dr. Campbell, we're just out of time. I feel like we've just scratched the surface. I wish we could go a little bit longer with you. But, hey, listen, you've got a really cool blog. How do we find your blog, and where do we get your book?
You can get my book on my website. You can get it at Amazon.com, and you can get it at BarnesandNoble.com or AuthorHouse. And get onto my website. It's SherryCampbellPhD.com, and you can get free therapy there. My blog is full of free advice, and so is my Facebook community, which is pretty large. And everyone interacts on my Facebook community as well. So if you're lonely or you feel like you need someone, my Facebook community is there to support you as well, and it's free.
Okay, very cool. And I really like the blog. I haven't checked out your Facebook page, but for everyone listening, the blog is really, really super neat, and you might want to check out the book too, and we'll provide a link to Amazon where you can just go straight there when we post the podcast. Dr. Sherry Campbell, the book is called Loving Yourself. Thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope today.
Oh, thank you so much, and I hope I provided hope for some of you.
You did a great job. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Enjoyed talking to Sherry. She's got a lot of great ideas. She's on top of things. You might want to check that book out and go check out her webpage. We'll have to have her back on. So I want to thank Sherry for being on the show today. We've come to the end of another podcast. My name is Rodney Mathers, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey.